welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's past. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. In this hour, science fiction. Later on, a story from 1955 on X-1. But right now, it's Quiet Please. From the American Broadcasting Company, heard on May 8, 1949, it's Willis Cooper's story, The Other Side of the Stars.
Quiet, please. Quiet, please. American Broadcasting Company presents Quiet, Please, which is written and directed by Willis Cooper and which features Ernest Chappell. Quiet, Please for today is called Other Side of the Stars. I remember Mount Wilson and the 100-inch telescope, and I remember the astronomer Van Dyck and the little house of galvanized iron on the very edge of the summit. That was the house that had nothing inside it. The absence of everything. Now, I have no explanation of it. I think perhaps Van Dyck knew something about it. Up there where he used to be able to look down at night on the lights of 6 dozen cities and towns. You could look up, too, at the stars and the planets that seemed so tantalizingly close above you. If you wondered about them, well, maybe Van Dyck might tell you about them. Maybe. Remember that flying saucer craze about a year ago? Well, Van Dyck could probably tell you something about that, too. If he wanted to. I don't know why I'm laughing. I've got plenty of reason not to laugh. Oh, don't you grin at me. You and I are both in the same boat. You and I and everybody else. Up that old creek without oars, friend. No, I'm not a refugee from Stupefying Stories magazine. My name isn't Glob Glodge, XB314, and Tars Tarkas, Jeddak of the Tharks, is still Edgar Rice Burroughs' personal property as far as I'm concerned. I'm not even the eagle-eyed, needle-nosed mad scientist with the 2 heads. I'll take that back. Maybe I have got 2 heads. But I know something you don't know. Yet. I know what's out there on the other side of the stars. Or shall I say, I know what was out there.
Oh, excuse me.
What do you want, young man?
Excuse me.
Don't come barging in here. Isn't that on-the-air sign turned on out there? Huh? Well, can't people see we're busy in here? Can't you do something about keeping them out of here? I've only got a... All right, all right. Where was I? I said I know what was on the other side of the stars. And I know where it is now. Or I think I know. That's what I'm here to tell you about. If people will stop bursting in here while I'm talking, get out of here, you!
I'm sorry.
Well, wait a minute. You might as well come in and hear what I've got to say in here. You keep opening and shutting that door. Sit down there. No, no, there, there. Sit down and keep quiet.
Yes, sir.
Who are you, anyway?
I'm Dorothy's brother.
What's your name?
I'm her brother, Steve.
Yeah, she did have a brother named Steve.
Steve, that's me.
Now, what do you want?
I just want to hear this. You know, what you're going to say.
How did you know I was...
I heard about it.
Well, I've known Dorothy for more than 20 years. She...
Your name is Esau, isn't it?
Yes. Esau.
Excuse me.
I met Dorothy more than 20 years ago. I met her when I was at Peach Springs, Arizona, before I started off up in the Yavapai Indian country looking for the well. Before Steve here was born.
Uh-huh.
Peach Springs, 20 years ago. I don't know what it's like now. I haven't been there since 1928. Then it was a stop-off for the transcontinental buses, such as they were. General store on the edge of the Yavapai Reservation. They were so proud of their new frigid air. There, right alongside the general store, there was a corral where the Indian cowboys seemed always tangling with raw-back range cattle. Not very far away from the Grand Canyon, remember it well.
Dorothy told me about the well.
I was looking for the gold, of course. For the old map that showed where the well was, the old map with the Spanish words and the mark like the planet Saturn, complete with rings. Marked Pozo del Cielo, well of the heavens. Well of the Sky. Down the other words alongside it in the crabbed soldier's handwriting. Lleno de oro y plata. Full of gold and silver. Full of gold and silver. And I was the first man who'd seen that map since, I think it was 1542, maybe 1543. Wasn't anybody in the world who'd seen it for nearly 400 years till I got hold of it. Went looking for it. For the gold and silver.
Was that the well where...
Dorothy got off the bus from Los Angeles when I did there at Peach Springs. I wasn't aboard it when it started off again. And neither was she. Then she went with me looking for the Well of the Skies. Yeah, it was just that simple.
Dorothy was working for some museum...
She was investigating prehistoric Indian dwellings.
Uh-huh.
She was going north, and so was I. Oh, it was all right. We'd been walking about an hour through the mesquite and talking. It was a rattlesnake, big sidewinder. Dorothy produced a gun from somewhere and very casually shot its head off at 15 feet. I stopped talking, I remember, and Dorothy put away the gun. I know how to use a gun, she said very coolly. See what I mean? I saw. Yeah, well, let's get on. That time's a-wasting there. There wasn't any gold, and there wasn't any silver in the Well of the Stars.
You found that out right away?
We found that out right away. There wasn't anything except a skeleton and some very well-preserved pieces of 16th-century armor, including a beautifully engraved steel cap, Morion, I think they call them.
Morion.
And a sword. Rapier sorted with a basket hilt. You've seen them in pictures.
Why don't you tell it all?
I'm going to.
I think it would be better if you don't mind.
I'll tell it all.
About the music.
I've got to tell about the music. Dorothy said when she came up that...
There were prickles cut to the sides of the well.
She went down first because she said she wasn't as heavy as I and I could hold the rope better in case she fell. She went down as far as the rope would reach, about 15 feet from the bottom. She stayed down quite a while. Finally, when she came up, she said she heard music down there.
Didn't you...
I wish you'd stop prompting me.
Excuse me.
That was all. Just music. In a hole in the ground that was at least 400 years old that nobody had seen since 1542 or 3. Nearly 100 feet deep. Music. That's all. Just music. You know how far away the stars are? The stars, not the planets. The planets are close. The planets of our sun, I mean. The stars, they're their father. They're so far away that astronomers measure the distance to them in what they call light years, just to make it simpler. The light year? Well, light travels 186,000 miles a second. A second, 186,000 miles. There isn't any such distance, not on this Earth anyway, around 25,000 miles around the Earth at the equator. That's the farthest you can go, if you're a human being. Anyway, try and think of 186,000 miles. Then you multiply that by 60 for the distance light travels in a minute. Then by 60 again, and that's how far it travels in an hour. Just light, see? Then if you can still figure, multiply that by 24. That's the distance light travels in one day. And 365 times that is how far it travels in a year. That's a light year. In round numbers, 5,829,196,000,000 miles. And the nearest star is more than four times that far away. Alpha Centauri is its name. You could look at it some night, maybe. And the light you see started from there more than 4 years ago. Alpha might be bright purple now, and you wouldn't know it. Not for 4 years. That's what Van Dyke the astronomer told me, and Van Dyke the astronomer knows just about everything.
The well. You were talking about the well.
What?
And Dorothy.
Well, I have to tell the whole story, don't I?
Pardon me, pardon me.
You just shut up, Dorothy's brother. You just keep still and don't say anything. The hand on that clock just keeps going around. The first thing I know...
I'm sorry.
It was dark night when I finally climbed up out of the well. It was just like Dorothy said it was. The rope was too short to get all the way to the bottom. And when I came up, it was dark. And there wasn't a sound to be heard. except once in a while a coyote howling somewhere way off in the distance.
The music. Tell about the music.
I heard the music, too, while I was down in the well. I didn't say anything for a couple of minutes after I climbed out over the rim. Finally, Dorothy said in the dark, "Did you hear it?" I thought for a minute. I wondered if I had heard it, or... You see, there wasn't a sound up there on the ground, like I said. And I thought for a minute, and finally I said, "Yes. Yes," I said, "I heard it too." "I don't hear it now, though," I said. "Listen. Do you?"
"No. I don't hear anything."
"What do you suppose?"
"I don't know. I never heard anything like it before."
"Echo, maybe?"
"No, it wasn't an echo. It came from..."
"Where?"
"Up above."
"Uh-huh. Nothing here to make any music, though. Indians?"
"Uh-uh. Not like that. Esau."
"What?"
"Build a fire."
"Yeah, I guess I'd better."
"Go ahead."
"All right."
"Well?"
"Listen."
"What?"
"Well, listen. I'm scared."
"Yeah."
"What?"
"So am I."
"You've got that gun."
I'm not sure that gun would be much use.
"What? Do you think there's something down there?"
"Do you?"
"I don't know."
"Maybe we ought to go back to Peach Springs."
"We may break our necks in the dark. I don't know which way it is either."
"Go by the stars?"
"No."
"I'm cold."
"Blankets."
"You got blankets too?"
"Yeah."
"Esau."
"What?"
"What do you think it is?" "Oh."
"Not what?"
"Look there. At the mouth of the well."
"What?"
"You see a kind of light?"
"No."
"Don't look right at it. Look kind of to one side."
"I don't see anything."
"Do you hear anything?"
"Do you? Do you?"
"In the well."
"Nothing down there."
"Nothing but that skeleton and the armor."
And when the ice had finally melted away from my heart and I could move at last, I aimed my flashlight toward the well's mouth, and in the bright beam I saw a poor, harmless lizard choking its little life away half a foot from the lip of the well. And Dorothy and I looked at each other in the dark. I guess she laughed first. In a minute, we were both practically in hysterics at the senseless fright that had gripped us a moment before. Finally, Dorothy said, "I'm going to sleep." She pulled her blanket up over her head and leaned back against a rock. After a while, I did too, still chuckling to myself. But just before I drifted off to sleep, I looked up at the stars. And they seemed so horribly close to us. And then I was asleep, and I dreamed of music that came either from them or from the well that yawned there beside us. And when I woke up, I was all alone. There wasn't a sign of anybody as far as I could see. And I'd never seen Dorothy from that day to this.
You talked to her.
What? Yes, I've talked to her. Yes, I've talked to her. That's what I wanted to tell about. Van Dyke, the astronomer, told me a lot of things when I talked to him. Van Dyke knew what that well was. And he knew about the music. He knew where that came from, too. Music. Yeah, I'd better tell you about it. I never heard music quite like it before. I couldn't place it. Sounded something like, well, like somebody talking, only whoever it was used music instead of words. You could almost understand it. After a while, I did understand it.
Tell about trying to find Dorothy.
The first thing I thought about, of course, was she'd fallen. I wasn't very enthusiastic about climbing down in that well, naturally. But there wasn't anything else to do. She wasn't down there. The skeleton was still there on the bottom of the well. When I got to the end of the rope, I jumped on down. There wasn't anything at all except those old bones and the pieces of armor he'd worn when he was alive. And at last, in the light of my flashlight way down there, a hammered silver bracelet. A hammered silver bracelet I'd seen the day before on Dorothy's left wrist.
But there was something else down there.
What? What did you say?
Something else.
How did you know?
I know.
Yes. There was something else. I didn't know it at the time. If I'd known it was there. But I didn't. I didn't know about it till after I'd talked to Van Dyck, and it was too late. I should have known. It all falls into place. Now, the name of the place, Pozo del Cielo, Well of the Skies. The music that came from nowhere.
I know what you mean, but I don't think they do. Excuse me.
We think about this Earth, we think it's the most important place in the solar system. It isn't.
The solar system's not very important either.
Will you keep quiet?
I'm sorry.
No, the solar system isn't very important either. It's only a tiny little bit of this.
Universe?
Not universe, it's plural. We're all part of what we call the Milky Way. Billions and billions of universes. As far as anybody could see with the biggest telescope ever invented, and the people in the other universes are just as ignorant of us as we are of them, just as uninterested.
Except a few of the scientists.
Now, let's not talk like one of those magazines, young man. Steve. The chances of an intelligent being from another universe even seeing this one of ours is pretty remote. What? Certainly there are intelligent beings in the other universes. Don't be so self-important. And all they're not necessarily like us. They aren't like us, as a matter of fact. Why should they be? Who are we? Just leave it like that. There are intelligences other than the so-called human race. Hate us? Don't be silly. Most of them don't know we exist. Afraid of us? It's sillier yet.
The well.
That's right. The well. You don't think the so-called human race dug that well, do you? You don't flatter yourself that that music was produced by human beings, do you? You don't think Dorothy disappeared through any human means, do you? The only answer in each case is no. The human race didn't have anything to do with it. Why? The thing told me. Bottom of the well. The intelligence from the other side of the stars, friend. Van Dyck told me all about it. Van Dyck knows an awful lot. Sometimes I think Van Dyck is
not human.
How would any human being figure it all out and be so right? Because he's right, all right. The well, Van Dyck said, was a kind of telescope. Telescope isn't the right word, but it was a the same thing as a telescope, only, you know, astronomers just look at the stars. The silent stars, the stars that never make any sound. You just see them. You don't hear them. What if you had a telescope for sound? Why should the stars be silent? I'll tell you something. They're not. They're just so far away we can't hear them. Yeah, talk all you want about having to have atmosphere and stuff to be able to hear sound. That's human reasoning. And these people, the stars, they know one or two things we don't know.
Stars? People?
Certainly the stars are alive. Certainly what's on the other side of them is alive. Look, go right ahead and laugh. I don't care what you think. You'll find out different. Only it'll be too late, see?
You... about Dorothy?
I have a couple of other things to say first, Steve. Then Dorothy. It was 20 years ago that I first saw the Well of the Skies and heard the music. It took me 16 years nearly to get the story all wrapped up. From Van Dyck and from my own researches. I even took Van Dyke to see the well. He listened to the music, and he laughed. You don't know Van Dyke. You never heard him laugh. Gives me the creeps. A little more than 6 years ago, he gave me the machine. You've heard of the electrocelegraph. Machine that does something about recording thought waves, brain waves, works, purely scientific, hard facts, all that. This thing is something like an electrocelegraph, Van Dyke said. Put on these earphones, turn it on, watch the dials. That's all.
Understand the music?
That's right. Understand the music. Translates it into thoughts. Translates it so you can understand it. The music, the conversation that comes from the stars and the other side of the stars. And from the thing in the well. The thing in the well. And Mike told me what to look for. Too bad this isn't television, you could see it. It goes with me everywhere I go. Well, you can hear it anyway. That's it. That's the first intelligent thing from the stars, the other side of the stars, that anybody on this earth has ever encountered. Just a little sphere, just like a ball. Feels like an egg, kind of, except it's not hard and brittle like an egg. Warm to the touch, moves, thinks. Does whatever it wants to. Talks by music. No, I don't know much more about it, except it's alive, very highly alive. Tells me it's closer to plant life than to our kind of life. Color? Well, it's kind of grayish green. Very undistinguished to look at. Dew? Well, it came from the star Alpha Centauri. I told you Alpha Centauri is 4 light years away. It took 4 years for this thing to get here at the speed of light 186,000 miles a second. And
here to stay.
That's right. Here to stay. Found this earth by sheer accident. Curious about us.
Do anything it wants to.
It can do anything it wants to. Yes. Maybe you'd like to hear it. Hold the microphone over here close, Steve. Here, closer. Well, that's it. Wait. Yes, of course, over here, but I forgot it. Thank you. We'll let you hear it through the machine now, so you can hear it. So you can understand what it's saying. Just a second, I'll turn on the machine. Steve, move the microphone over here closer to the earphones. Yeah, so. Now. Just a second for the tubes to warm up. Now we adjust this dial, this one. Listen.
Esau has told you almost enough, but there is still more to be told.
Dorothy's voice.
I found it very useful to absorb, Dorothy. It is very difficult for me to form impressions of you human beings without much closer contact. Without making your physical being a part of my own, there was only one other in all the time since I came to this universe, a Spanish soldier.
The skeleton in the armor.
And then when you and Dorothy came, it was necessary to know more about current conditions. All I knew about human beings was what I found in the mind of the Spanish soldier. You have made a few steps forward since his time. The rest of us will be interested.
Move the microphone, Steve. You see? That's what became of Dorothy, Steve.
Dead?
No. No, Steve, Dorothy isn't dead. Dorothy's a part of that. Just like we're all going to be a part of the others.
Excuse me. I mean...
I was out in California 2 weeks ago. Van Dyke, he's still at Mount Wilson. He wouldn't go to Palomar. There's something about Mount Wilson and the 100-inch telescope and the little house on the mountaintop that's got nothing in it. I told you about that. And Van Dyke doesn't want to leave. Van Dyke showed me a photograph made through the 100-inch on the 3rd of March. Yeah, let me show it to you, Steve. You describe it, Steve. This picture was made toward Alpha Centauri. Yeah, that's Alpha Centauri there. Now, there. You describe what you see, Steve.
Oh, no.
Go on.
Stars. Millions of stars.
And this?
Cloud.
A cloud blotting out the stars from a sixth of a light year away. 2 months ago, sixth of a light year. Now, this photograph, made April 7th, Steve. Steve.
The cloud. It's bigger.
The 12th of a light year, closer to the Earth, Steve. They're coming.
I don't know.
Put the microphone over here closer. Yeah, by the machine. Here, listen now. Here is the word from the other side of the stars. Here is the word from the beings, the intelligences, the things from Alpha Centauri. Listen.
Welcome. Welcome to this place. Welcome to all of you. This place they call the Earth. It is not bad. It is an interesting place. I am glad you have come after all this time. The inhabitants will give us no trouble whatever. They are very inferior grade of intelligence.
Is that... What can we do? I mean...
It's too late now, Steve. Much too late. At the speed of light, they're less than a day away.
But they... From the other side of the stars?
That's right, Steve. They've come to take over the Earth. The title of today's Quiet Please story was The Other Side of the Stars. It was written and directed by Willis Cooper, and the man who spoke to you was Ernest Chappell. And Jane White played Dorothy. The young man was Mark Forbes. As usual, music for Quiet Please is by Albert Berman. Now for a word about next week, our writer-director Willis Cooper.
Thank you for listening to Quiet Please. Next week, I have a love story for you, for a change. It's called The Little Mornings.
And so, until next week at the same time, I am quietly yours, Ernest Chappell.
Quiet, Please, on Tuned to Yesterday from May 8, 1949 on ABC. Seven broadcasts later, the series would come to an end in June of 1949. You're listening to an hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now a story that was first heard on NBC in 1950 and repeated again in this next broadcast of X-1 on September 1st, 1955. It's Ernest Canoy's Shanghaied from NBC.
Countdown for blast-off. X-minus 5, 4, 3, 2, X-minus 1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Street & Smith, publishers of Astounding Science Fiction, presents...
X-1...
Night story.
Shanghaied.
Okay, okay, very funny, very funny.
Think it over, boy. Tomorrow the old ball and chain.
Yeah. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you commit matrimony.
Come on, now, look. Oh, come on. We came down here to Scully Square to have a little fun. We might as well be at my mother's musicale in Beacon Street.
Oh, the problems of the rich.
Tell me, Jeff, just where does the coffin fortune come from? Pirate treasure?
No, I guess it started in Nantucket. My great-great something or other used to be a whaler.
A whaler! The she blows!
A dead whale or a stove boat. Watch my trusty harpoon.
Hey, we'll look out for the fort.
Oh, my.
Hey, where's the money now?
Oh, I don't know. We've got a lot of commercial holdings, mills, import-export outfits, rocket lines, you know.
Mere trivia.
All right, now look, why don't we get out of this dump? We could go up to the Copley Plaza. It may be stuffy, but at least the glasses are clean.
Well, you're the condemned man.
All right, you two go ahead and get in the car. I'll settle.
All right, meet you out in front.
Right. Excuse me.
You want something, Bud?
Yeah, the check.
Okay. Hey, Milton, check. He'll be right out.
Right, thank you.
Hello, mate. Nice night, eh?
Hmm? Oh, yeah, I suppose so.
I've been watching you. Celebrating?
Sort of.
Yeah, so am I. Just got off a deep space run out to Centaurus.
Oh, that's a 15-year run, isn't it?
15 and 3 blooming months.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you know? You a spaceman?
No, not exactly.
Where's that check, barkeep?
Hang on to your hat, bud. Milton's slow, but he's sure.
Fill it up, Charlie. Say, why don't you join me, Mighty? Here, Charlie.
No, thank you.
Oh, come on, won't take off a mouth.
Well,
celebrate whatever it is you're celebrating on me. Pour it, Charlie.
Okay.
Well, all right, thank you. I guess I might as well.
Cheers.
Yeah, all right, cheers.
Oh, what was that, Marty?
Charlie's special bread, eh, Charlie?
Yeah.
Well, say, look, Charlie, would you get that waiter out here? I've got to meet.
What's your hurry, matey? You got plenty of time.
Sure. Sit down.
Take it easy. You don't look so good.
No, I don't feel so good.
Now sit right here. You feel chipper as a blooming grasshopper in a sec.
I've got to get outside. The car's in a hurry. Where's the check?
Up on your feet. Wakey.
All right, let go of me. What's the idea?
Rise and shine and greet the dawn.
What? Where am I? What's going on here?
Oh, come on now, matey. Up in there. Wakey.
Wait a minute. So you were at that bar, Scully Square.
Come on now, up on deck or you'll be in trouble.
Deck? What are you talking about? Where am I?
It's hard to say exactly. Offhand, about 8 hours out of Atlantic Spaceport.
Atlantic Spaceport? Now, look, what kind of a joke is this? If Alan and Peter think this is funny, what ship is this?
R.S. Michael M. Rafferty, Coffin Line.
Oh, Coffin Line. Well, that makes it easy. Now, you've got to put back to port.
Forget your toothbrush, Banks.
No, listen, you. Why don't you take me to the captain, or I'll tear you apart.
Yeah, I'll let go of my jacket.
All right, get moving.
Sure, my dear. I'll take you to the captain. Bet you're going to be sorry.
Morton, what the devil are you doing on the bridge? Get below before
right away, sir. Only this here gentleman asked to see you.
Yeah, that's right, Captain. There's been a mistake made. I'm afraid it was supposed to be a joke.
Oh?
Yes, you see, I'm going to be married today, and I suppose the boys thought it'd be funny to make me miss the ceremony. I'm sure it won't be too much trouble to have you drop me off back at the Atlantic Spaceport.
What? Morton, what is this?
Well, it's simple, Captain. He wants you to turn the ship around, that's all.
Now, look, if there's any trouble with your superior, I'm sure I can fix it up. You see, I'm Jeff Coffin.
Yeah?
Well, you don't understand. My father is Cyrus Coffin. He owns this ship.
Oh, he does, huh? Morton, get this drunk below.
Now, just a minute. I can understand you're not believing me, but I can identify my... Hey, where's my wallet? I've been robbed. Oh, now, look, Captain, wait a minute. All you have to do is radio back and check.
Mr. Black, remove this man from the bridge.
Yes, but...
Aye, sir. You heard the captain, Buster.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Let go of me. This is no way to treat a passenger.
Passenger? Huh. Wake up, sonny boy. You're one of the crew. Now get below.
All right now, mate. Grab yourself a buffer. Get to work on those deck lights.
But they can't get away with this. This is kidnapping.
Perhaps yes, perhaps no. Now get this here deck nice and shiny. We might even see about some grub. I'll be back in 2 hours. And mind you, I want to be able to see me blooming reflection in it.
Better polish that deck plate.
They can't get away with this.
Well, the law says once you sign on, you're under absolute orders. I looked it up.
Yeah, but I didn't sign on. I was kidnapped.
You won't be able to prove it. Come on, mister, please. I didn't get anything to eat yet today, so give me a break, huh?
All right. What do? Run the buffer over it?
Yeah, that's right. Like this.
You sign on?
Yeah, I ran away from home.
How old are you?
16. 30 when we get back.
Yeah. What do you mean, 30? We're headed for Mars, aren't we?
Only to refuel. We're outbound to Centaurus.
Oh, no, it can't be. Well, that's a 15-year run. Morton! I've got to get back.
It's no use.
I'm getting married. My bride-to-be will think I'm dead. Morton! Morton!
What's up here? You want me to call Mr. Black again? He'll give you what
listen,
for.
Listen to me, Morton. Listen, I've got to get back to Earth. I can't disappear for 15 years.
Oh, is that the fact?
Look, we stop at Mars, right?
Yes, and you'll be below decks under lock and key.
Listen to me. If I can make it worth your while, will you get me off at Marsport?
Jumping ship, huh? That's real naughty, mate.
$1,000?
Why, what would I tell me poor old mother in batter say?
$2,000.
$5,000 in advance.
What do you mean in advance? You're probably the one that rolled me for my wallet.
I'll find a way. They don't believe your young Coffin, but maybe I know better. All right, it's a deal.
Look, Mr. Coffin, can you take me with you? I didn't realize what it would be like. I can pay my share. I could work it out for you, or maybe borrow money. I couldn't stand 15 years. I'd go crazy.
All right, sure. What about it, Morton?
Boy'll cost you another $1,000.
You cheap swindler.
Here now, Mr. Coffin. I'm all what stands between you and a lovely pleasure cruise for 15 years. So I thank you to treat me with the respect and politeness what a gentleman like myself deserves.
Procedure.
All right, now. Listen careful. This is the cable locker for the grappling anchor.
Right.
When she lands, this hatch will open. Cables go out. Don't get yourself caught in them. You'll be tore apart.
All right, we've got that.
Are you sure we can get out?
Now, you just do what I say. We drop down to the blast pit. Nobody will be there. Lie low in the pit till dark. Got that?
Right. Now, look, Morton, I'll tell the patrol you helped us get away. That'll help you when they catch up with this gang.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you kindly. I've got to get to my station now. Luck.
Thanks. Thanks, Mr. Morton.
Well, there's a landing horn. Now keep clear of that cable, Joey. Here we go. Right. Hold on tight.
There goes the grappling cable.
Yeah. All right, come on. Drop through the hatch. It's about 6 feet. All right, it's clear. Hurry up.
Here I come.
Oh. You all right?
Yeah, I twisted my ankle. It's all right.
All right, there's the blast pit. Get going.
Right.
Now, we're all right so far. The ship hides us.
Here's the pit.
All right, now get down so they can't see you. Wait a minute. I hear somebody coming. Keep still.
Maybe we better look.
Look, if we stick our heads up over the edge, they'll see us sure. Now, keep down and keep still.
Shh.
Well, well, well. Look what we have here. Two little babes in the wood. Now, you two move, and I'll shoot you in the belly. Morton, you got good eyes.
I told you I saw him coming this way, Mr. Black. Jumping ship. My, that's a terrible thing to do.
Mr. Black,
Inform the ship's company that these two men have been found guilty of attempted desertion.
Desertion? You kidnapped me, you dirty crook.
Don't you talk to Captain Howell that way.
I'm sentencing them to 24 hours hull watch. Take them away.
Morton, take them to the aft lock.
Aye, sir. You calm down after 24 hours hull watch.
What's hull watch?
Very simple. We put you two in spacesuits, shove you through the airlock on the end of a line. You sit out there and watch the hull for 24 hours. No food, no water. And the eating units in those suits are just a little bit defective. Makes it interesting along about the 18th hour.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Here we are, gentlemen. The airlock. You get in there. Got 5 minutes to get into them suits before we blow the air out. See you in 24 hours. Maybe. Welcome back to our little home.
Water. Water.
Thirsty, eh? You should control these animals' instincts.
Get water.
Right, yeah? Yeah. Slopping like a bloody animal.
Joey. Joey passed out. Help him.
He'll be all right. Teach a lesson, both of you. Take my advice and behave yourself. You've got 15 years to go on this here ship. You might as well make the best of it.
Hey, Morton! What do you call this mess?
That's your supper, matey. Food concentrate.
What's the idea? Only 2 months out and on concentrates already?
You complaining,
Rick? Yeah, I'm complaining. If Captain Howell's chiseling on the manifest, that's his business. But when he tries to take it out in our house...
You keep quiet or I'll turn you into Mr. Black. Concentrate is what you get to eat from here on out. Now shove it into your face and keep quiet.
Suppose I shove it into your face and see how you like it. What's going on in here? What's going on? Morton.
He struck me, Arch. What?
48 hours hull watch. All right, what are you all looking at? Get back into your places. Morton, bring that man down to the aft airlock.
It's murder, that's what. Plain murder.
Space code gives a 30-hour limit for punishment.
They didn't even have a burial. Just shoved them out the lock.
Well, if the owners knew about this, they'd stop it.
Fat lot of good that's going to do us during the next 15 years.
Wait a minute, we could get the ship back to Mars.
No, 2 weeks after we landed, we'd be hung. That's what space code says about mutiny. And if they catch you in the act, they shoot you down and no questions.
All right, I'm willing to take that chance. We're going to let Black and Howell kick us around for 15 years? Why don't we take over and head back?
Right.
I'm for it.
Let's go.
You bet. Go interrupt something, gentlemen. Discussion? Talking about the captain, maybe?
Grab him.
Get him. Slug him in the jet. Come on.
Oh, have you all out of the island shifts? Also, you're not rations. That's what I'll...
Chew on my oil rag, Morton.
Well, that's done it. He's an officer.
Who cares?
Yeah, we've got to move now. Joey?
Yeah?
You get up the radio room and smash the set before they can get a message out.
Right.
Pop, you get aft. Tell the engine watch.
Yes.
The rest of us will go up on the bridge.
How about this rat?
Tie him up. Speed counts now. We've got to take over before they know what hit him. All right, careful. We've got to surprise him.
Don't worry, we'll get him cold.
Jeff!
Shh, quiet.
Sparks were sending when I got in, but I knocked him out and smashed the set. We're okay.
Good boy. All right, come on. Right past the bulkhead.
Look out!
The blast bulkhead.
Yeah, we're cut off from the bridge.
We'll never get through that.
They must have found out somehow.
The intercom. Black can turn it on from the bridge. You heard the whole thing.
Well, we better get out of here.
What'll they do?
I don't know.
We've got all the controls up there. We can shut down the driver, but we can't steer.
Yeah. You better dog down the hatch behind us.
Captain Howell's giving you 1 minute to give up quiet.
In a pig's eye, Black!
You'll hang for mutiny, every one of you.
What do we do now?
Quiet. They can hear everything on the intercom.
If I pull the jack out...
That's a boy. Look, we've got to get through to the bridge.
It's a Mexican standoff. We can't get at them, they can't get at us.
What's that?
It's an airlink. The pressure's down.
It's Howell. He blew the hatch on the mess hall section. Just opened her up and let the air out.
Morton, do you know what Black's going to do? He's going to bleed off the air down here.
Save you all right. If I had my way, I'd see you all out on the hull till you froze stiff.
You're forgetting something, Morton. You're back here with us.
What do you mean?
If Black and Howell blow out compartments one by one or bleed the air off, you'll get it too.
They'll take care of me. Don't you worry about that.
Oh, you think so, huh? Joey, yeah. Plug that intercom back in.
Right.
Captain? Captain?
Giving up?
We've got Morton back here.
Yeah?
If you try anything on us, he'll get it too.
What am I supposed to do, cry?
You don't care if he dies?
That's his problem. We're going to drop the oxygen level 5%.
Don't do that to me. Captain! Captain!
It's unfortunate that you were captured, Morton, but the security of my ship comes first.
You mean you don't care? You'd see me dead.
Precisely.
Well, you can't. It's murder, that's what. I'm not one of them. You can't kill me. You can't.
Joey, pull the intercom plug. All right, there you are, Morton. They'd kill you just as soon as look at you. Now, listen, we've got to get through that bulkhead. You know this ship. There must be some way.
Morton, we're your only chance. Get us through the bulkhead.
All right. All right, why shouldn't I? They'd kill me.
Well, then there is a way to get through.
An emergency release.
Uh-huh.
They don't tell crewmen about it to keep them from breaking through in an engine blast and leaking radiation to the bridge.
Well, then let's get going. We've got to get through that bulkhead before Howell cuts the air down and gets us all. Here's the bulkhead, Morgan. Where's the release?
Under the floor panel. You can pry it up.
All right, hurry.
I got it, I got it. She's up.
Works on a key. Ready?
All right, Morton. Open it up.
Here goes.
Morton!
He's dead. Electrocuted, and the bulkhead's still closed.
He didn't even get to turn that key. It killed him instantly. Harry.
Yeah?
Have you got your watch gloves? They're insulated.
Oh, yeah, sure. Get Morton out of the way.
Don't touch him, Joey. He's got the current through him.
I'll shove him away with the gloves. All right, now. Stand by. Here goes a key.
All right, let's go. Get him.
Come on in.
That's it.
Stand back there.
Come on, get him.
Stand back. All right, Blexi, are you like this guy?
Right, grab the guns. Joey, look out. Let go of that gun, Howell. All right, hold them both.
You don't have to worry about Black. I got him square with a wrench.
We better tie up the captain.
Yeah. Well, what do you think you're going to do now?
We're going to turn around and go back home.
Oh, I don't think so. I burned the navigation tapes, and none of you can recalculate them.
Why, you...
You'll just wander in space till the fuel gives out. You'll die right here on this ship.
Screens went on.
Meteor?
No, it's a ship. A patrol ship coming up on us.
Oh, they must have got an SOS off.
Yeah.
Well, I'm
not
so sure that's
bad. Wait a minute. We don't have to worry. We can just tell them the truth.
You're not familiar with space code, young man. Mutiny is punishable by immediate execution. In other words, they don't ask questions. They just shoot.
He's right, Jeff. We're through.
Can we get away?
Not from a patrol ship. Already sent us a heave-to flash. If we run, they'll blow us out of space.
I'm afraid your mutiny is about over with, gentlemen. They'll be aboard in an hour. And 10 minutes after that, you'll all be dead.
Nobody move. Sergeant, take a squad and secure the ship. Collect all weapons and post a guard in the engine room.
Yes, sir. You, Brown, Williams, Osiski, come on.
Well, I'm delighted to see you, Major. I wasn't quite sure my SOS had gotten through.
Oh? You're Captain Howell?
That's right. And I can swear out the affidavit of mutiny.
I don't think a mutiny charge will stand up, Howell. Not with a relief of command warrant out for you. I think we'll just forget about it.
But you can't do that. Space code is clear. You recorded my SOS.
No, we didn't, Howell.
Then how'd you get here?
They sent us after you to get Jeff Coffin. Where is he?
I'm Jeff Coffin.
Jeff, we had a missing persons alarm for you, and then when a check you signed turned up at Marsport.
A check?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. I gave one to Morton to help me get away.
And he sold it to a fence for half face value. We traced it back to the ship. Coffin, I've got orders to escort you personally. We're taking you back to Earth.
Can I send out a message, Major?
Of course. Oh, well, that reminds me, Jeff. I've got one for you from your fiancée. She said to tell you that she didn't object to a bachelor party in principle, but she did think 6 months was stretching it a bit.
You have just heard X-1, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Street & Smith, publishers of Astounding Science Fiction. X-1 was an NBC Radio Network production.
X-1, on Tuned to Yesterday from September 1st, 1955 on NBC. And so closes this hour of science fiction on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVeonier. Thanks for tuning in.